Well, good morning. This is Tom Moulton, and we're here in Jump In Tucson. It's a show that's on every weekday with five wonderful hosts that talk to folks that are not afraid to jump in and get the job done. Boy, do we have a great show today. Make sure you grab your breakfast because you're going to get hungry throughout this hour, and we want to make sure you got your favorite breakfast in front of you. We have a very special guest today, and we're going to talk about food, tasty food, as a matter of fact, because Wesley Source is the host of the Tucson Tasty Show, and it happens every Saturday right here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., from 3 to 4 o'clock. And it's every Saturday, and he gets to feature just an unlimited number of folks that are involved in the food scene here in the Tucson and, of course, the Southern Arizona area. And we're, as you know, a part of the Tucson Attractions Alliance, and I'm the executive director. And I get a chance every Thursday at 9 o'clock to talk about what's going on in Tucson, important details about tourism, and especially about all of the wonderful attractions that we have here in Southern Arizona. Now, good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really looking forward to this. You know, we live in a city that probably has per capita, I think, more Tucson foodies. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about what is a Tucson foodie or what qualifies you to be a Tucson foodie. Now, I used to have a long time employee. I won't mention her name, but her name is Catherine. And she came from the U of A, and mm-hmm. every time we went out to lunch or dinner or whatever the occasion was, she had her wonderful iPhone, and she was snapping a picture. Not just one picture, but multiple pictures. And I said, what do you do with those pictures? He says, well, you know, I like to show them to my sister, but I post them. And I said, well, social media is alive and well. So at that time, I didn't know there was an organization, you know, that really the Tucson foodies saw all the different types of food that are available in Tucson. And when we say available, we mean the local restaurants here, don't we?
Oh, yes.
And one of a kind.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nowhere else that I've ever been that I have had the options and quality of restaurants and food. And there's more than 1,500 restaurants in Tucson. And we're talking about a city with less than a million people, just about a million people. So 1,500 restaurants, and they're all thriving. We must like to eat.
We do, and if you, we're not broadcasting this live, but one of the things you could tell by meeting Wesley and Tom Moulton is that we rarely miss a meal. But I have a good saying here that a friend told me. His name was Martin, and he was a nutritionist and worked for a nutritional company, and actually he still works for a wellness company. Mm-hmm. And he said one day to me, he says, Tom, he says, I know you're a good friend, and I need you to start eating properly because, you see, I'm fit. You could lose a few pounds. And I said, well, what's your secret, Martin? He says, well, I don't eat to get full. It was very
really
important, you know, and that really went a long way to me is that. So what? So one day I asked him, I said, what does that mean you don't eat to eat? I eat for nutrition. I eat for energy. Mm. I eat to maintain my energy levels. And I do that. But if I eat to get full, I find myself late from work and I go to fast food, you know, Popeye chicken or wherever you go and eat your fast food. And he says, besides the salt content.
Right.
The fat content is unbelievable. And I remind myself of my dad, who grew up in Arkansas, and everything was cooked with lard in Arkansas. And he had a heart attack at 49 years old. And he blamed the lard that his mother every single time. And if you ever, probably the young population that's listening to this probably has never looked at Crisco. And to me, that's probably the best definition of what lard looks like?
Yes and no. I mean, Crisco is vegetable-based usually, yes. And it's supposed to be healthier, but it's still the same content, if you will. Now, my producer, Tina, as we refer to her on the show, she is studying to become a dietitian, a certified dietitian. So she could probably actually tell us all about the difference between the two, which is probably not a lot. Animal fats and vegetable fats turn into the same things pretty much in your bloodstream. So but that's one of the great things about food. Now, everything in moderation, and you can eat to get vitamins into your system. You can eat to just have fuel. But when you eat well and you just don't eat as much, you're going to be a lot happier. And the reason that I'm the size I am is because I eat over conversations all the time. In fact, that's the best way to get to know somebody is break bread with them. And yes. It's a part of my culture growing up. I grew up very Italian family. That's why I talk with my hands, and nobody on the radio can hear or see me move my hands, but they're constantly going. And if I don't have something playing with or to play with in my hands, then usually I hit the mic a couple times. But that's why I have something in my hands. A pen usually works pretty well. But with the food, I mean, with the family centered around the food, it's a very Tucson culture thing as well, because I mean, everywhere in Tucson, when I talk about a true Tucsonan, in fact, we had her on the show a couple weeks ago, Marcella from The Little One.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, of course, her sister, the famous Polka Kosa.
Absolutely. And absolutely incredible Mexican food. It's one of my favorite places to go for a quick bite. And, you know, talk about portion sizes, you know, it's a plate and you eat it and you're full, and you might take some leftovers if you don't eat all of it, but it's hard not to.
Well, you know, obviously customer service is as important sometimes.
Absolutely.
If the food is tasty. I'll probably use that word quite a bit because I think it's an excellent name for a show. Yeah, they say when you begin your company, don't get too clever. Tell people what it is.
Yes.
And certainly when we hear that you're hosting Tucson's Tasty Show, we kind of exactly know what it's like. But when you go there to the Little Polka Kosa,
yes,
you're greeted by this wonderful warm hug.
Exactly.
And loud music.
Right.
And she has a party, I think, every day she comes to work.
That's
and you join the party.
Yes.
And I heard that Suzanne, her sister that we talked about, Polka Kosa, and I moved here in 1997. One of my interviews was at Polka Kosa when it was over at the old hotel. And it was really an interesting encounter because she would come to your table.
Yes.
Okay. And if you were a first time visitor, she would present her chalkboard. And on there was this unique menu.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, I've seen chalk menu boards, usually with the prices erased out, and it's a higher price. But, you know, Suzanne would come to you and explain to you where she, you know, gets the ingredients for her food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about here after the break, because Tucson is the city of gastronomy. Back in 2015, the application went in to UNESCO, United Nations, and we came back with the first certification of being the city of gastronomy in the United States. So when we get back, we're going to talk a lot. We have our special guest today. He said I can call him Wes during the show. And see you in just a few minutes. Well, we're back with Tucson Jump In today. My name's Tom Moulton, and I'm your host every Thursday beginning at 9 o'clock. And we're really learning about the culinary scene here in Tucson, Arizona. And it starts with, in 2015, some of the folks from the city of Tucson, a gentleman that's really was kind of in charge of anything to do with really the heritage of our area, put together, along with the city of Tucson, an application, sent it over to the United Nations, part of their Creative Cities program. And lo and behold, we became the first city in North America as the city of gastronomy. Now, probably when you first heard that word, you probably had to look it up. What does that mean? Let alone know how to spell it. And I was very fortunate, Wes, that when we got that designation, the U of A ran this wonderful academic program, and where they invited people from all over the world to talk about food heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And how it, you know, impacts the environment. And boy, was and I was put in charge of making sure the facilities were accurate and making sure everybody showed up and that we were promoting it and so on and so forth. So I think the first time that I was telling people I was involved in this gastronomy scene, I think I probably spelled it wrong. But they quickly reminded me what it meant to become the city of gastronomy. Now, isn't that exciting?
One of the cool things about that, and actually I love the talk that Erica from City of Gastronomy does.
Yes.
And she talks about how we're the UNESCO City of Gastronomy. And then she goes, so what's a UNESCO rating? And then she goes, did you know that the Taj Mahal is a UNESCO City of Gastronomy? And then I go, you know, then it kind of makes you think, wait a minute, we're rated on the same level as the Taj Mahal. Now, it's a UNESCO City of Gastronomy, so we're not the Taj Mahal, but we were the number one destination for food in America in 2023. So we've got to be doing something right.
Well, you know, there has been a new one since then.
Yes.
And since I lived in San Antonio and was involved in tourism there, I think it was a couple years ago, maybe.
Yes.
Wasn't that long ago, that the second city of gastronomy became San Antonio. And I said, right on. Now, right. When does New Orleans get chosen? Now, that's another thing, because before we started today, we talked a little bit of a story that I had the opportunity to be in New Orleans for 4 years. Hated to leave, but I got a promotion to come here and enjoy the first city of gastronomy before we knew that was even available.
Thing, right.
And I, you know, would have thought that New Orleans would have been, but their food culture was brought in. Ours was developed here, okay? And we still grow many of the ingredients that the Native Americans, the Hopi, used, you know, and some of our ancient descendants from 5,000 years ago,
right?
You know, we're cooking with. And corn, we'll talk a little bit about corn in just a little bit, but this idea of selling your destination,
yes,
using food was very unique, I think. And I can't take any credit for this, but when I was in New Orleans, we had a fellow by the name of John Goodman, famous actor, and he was hired by the city's ad agency to produce a series of culinary commercials. And while we all know that New Orleans was a good food location and just famous families like the Brennans and Emerald, you know, it's a little bit different, because most of their chef, Paul Prudhomme, I got to say him, but most of their chefs that are now in New Orleans, or if they're not associated with the Brennans, were actually or Emerald. They were actually trained by those three major celebrity chefs. So you have a obviously rich in French food,
right,
and everything has a sauce in it. But you know, people.
Do beignets come with the sauce?
That's been there for a long. Not like at Topgolf, where you actually inject the sauce into that little donut thing. But no, clearly. When you move here and you really get to understand the food scene,
yes,
you know, our chefs, probably next to New Orleans and maybe San Antonio, are community minded, and they're excited to be part of the culinary. They're friends.
Mm-hmm.
They play off of each other. And we're going to talk in the third segment about how that all comes together, rather, at a real kind of a national show that's
right.
in Las Vegas that you attended. And we're going to have a special chef here that was there with you, Wesley.
Yes.
You weren't there as a chef. You're not a chef. You're a media expert. You bring out the stories and you communicate, and that's exactly what the Tasty Show does. But this concept of, which you may have heard about it, maybe you haven't heard about it, but you know, for years we were known here because of our Mexican food. We have one of the largest Mexican restaurants here, El Charo, been along several generations.
Yeah, 100 years, 105.
That's right. They just celebrated,
yep.
you know, recently that. And this particular celebration of our Mexican restaurants from Sonora,
mm-hmm.
a different kind of Mexican food than you get in Texas, which is Tex-Mex,
right.
or northern Mexico, a different kind of food. But we were known, and actually Christy Simone from this very radio station kind of coined the phrase, the 23 miles of Mexican food.
Yes.
Now, we don't have a long enough show to talk about how he came up with that, but he did draw a circle, and then he put his little measurement stick to it, and it truly was 23 miles of Mexican food. But a lot of people didn't really know what that was. So just recently, our destination marketing organization, Visit Tucson, you know, utilizing all of their wonderful strategic methods, came up with this new slogan, which is just getting out in the world,
mm-hmm.
whereas Tucson is now America's favorite Mexican food. And I have to say, there's not a lot of people that would probably refute that, maybe other than San Antonio. But San Antonio, though, it has this Tex-Mex feel.
It's a very different. It's a very different style of Mexican food, and I was in the Air Force, so I've been to a lot of Mexican food restaurants in San Antonio and in the area. Not all of them, obviously, but and it was always looking for what was lacking, and what it was lacking was I'm a Tucsonan. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I wanted the Mexican food from Tucson. And we do have a very we have a diverse selection of Mexican food, but we also have a very honest selection of Mexican food. I mean, you go to El Charro and they have the carne seca. They're still drying it from the roof, and it's absolutely incredible, and it's the best. It's the best, in my opinion, because it's done traditionally. But there's still plenty of other places that have a very similar product that's not dried on the roof, and it's very good as well. Now, carne seca is a dried piece of beef, and they rehydrate it, and they actually do a chimichanga, which was also invented by El Charro, and
by mistake, Carlotta says.
But they say, who knows? Gordo's also claimed that, but that was another restaurant in another era. Today I actually brought in some empanadas and donuts from La Estrella Bakery, and there's a selection of different ones. So you have pumpkin. I think you probably have the pumpkin. There's also apple pie. There's lemon. Okay. There's cherry, and then we also have the donuts, traditional Mexican donut. And these donuts are actually used by Chef Lindy at Thunder Bacon Burger to do a burger right here. So and wow. They're absolutely incredible. And you can't really find this kind of pastry outside of Tucson. I haven't been able to, unless you're in Southern California, and then they still have their own idea of what that is.
You know, clearly this is fresh. They must have got up 4 o'clock in the morning to cook this just for
every
us.
Day.
Well, we'll be back here with Jump in Tucson with Wesley from the Tasty Show. Sorry, I had to swallow. We're going to talk about the Bar and Restaurant Expo, which took place in Las Vegas, and Wesley mm-hmm. was a lucky person to be there. Welcome back. We're at Jump in Tucson. My name's Tom Moulton, and I'm your host every Thursday at 9 o'clock. When we talk about the attractions and tourism in general, and interview folks that aren't afraid to jump in and get the job done. And boy, we have a special guest today, but I'm going to not tell you who that is, because the Wesley Source from the Tucson Tasty Show is been our guest for the last two segments. And this is really going to be hello again. Yeah. Yes. Welcome. Glad to see you here. Well, he brought somebody with him, and you're just going to, I think if you ever called your mother mama, you know, this is going to be something, I think that's a little bit of a tease on who's here. But Wesley, you know, because he's got a radio show, he probably has media credentials, and he was able to attend in Las Vegas a very important show that goes on every year, and it's called the Bar and Restaurant Expo.
Bar and Restaurant Expo, and that was just one of the expos that was happening. There was also the Tea Expo, and then there was the Pizza Expo, and I think there was an Attractions Expo. There was like a Roller Coaster Expo. It was weird, but it was awesome. It was everything. Like, and then you tie that all together, so you go downstairs to the bar expo, then you go get some food, and then you go upstairs. Never mind. Fill in blanks.
Las Vegas is known for its celebrity restaurants, okay? Yeah. And of course, all of those celebrity restaurants started with one restaurant, didn't they?
Sometimes.
Well, those were
or a food truck,
because you just don't jump from there to owning a chain of restaurants, or especially one in Las Vegas, or clearly on the Food Channel.
Fair.
Okay? You know, so, but we have to, well, who we have here today, very special guest. So, and Wesley, I'm going to let you introduce
him. Beautiful. So this is Wesley Source, host of the Tucson Tasty Show, and thank you very much for having us here today, and I really appreciate it. Now, I was at the Bar and Restaurant Expo last week with Michael Elefante of Mama Luisa's and Guido Q.
Yes,
best barbecue, by the way. I don't know if you've ever had
never
his barbecue.
No, never.
It's a food truck-ish.
It's like a speaking. Easy a food truck.
Yes. Okay.
We just randomly pop up with it.
And you invited me out to one of your competitions, and I'm ruined to barbecue now. Like, I was actually interviewing a chef, and I'll show you the video after this, but and he was talking about his ribs, and the ribs were, you know, the bones just pulling out. It's like, those are overcooked.
Yeah. Competition barbecue will ruin normal barbecue for you.
But we had a blast in Vegas, and it was really amazing to be able to go and follow the gut chefs. Yeah. I mean, there was a good group of us there. We had you. We had Obi from Mountain Oyster Club. We had your girl Elefante. We had Gary Hickey from Charles Steak and Del Rey. And we also had
Rod Ledesma.
Rod Ledesma.
From PY Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. He's the executive sous out at the casino. Yeah, it was a big group. And it's a fun group.
Yes.
Did Gary keep you up all night?
I averaged 4.5 hours of sleep for that entire week. I'm still trying to recover.
We don't get to do it often, but when chefs get to party, and especially partying in our element where we're all out having a good time, and you're in Vegas and you're there for a bar and restaurant expo, you're there for basically a big hospitality expo, like it just, you just go all night.
And I was honored. I was invited up there to be a member of the media, and we got to be on the red carpet and take pictures and everything else. We got to interact with some of these celebrity chefs, and it was really cool to be able to do that. But as soon as you guys showed up, I was with you the rest of the day, because forget them, you're my chefs, and the Tucson chefs are so much more fun because they're not there just being celebrities. You are there in your element, and it was incredible to be able to walk around and just watch you or you guys go through the expo, because they really do look at things differently. When I'm there, I'm like, well, I want to try everything,
right?
Because I like to eat and I like to taste things. And when you guys are there, you're like, oh, look at this glass. Look at that glass. Oh, how's this? How's that? I was there, and we were talking to what was the name of Gary's. Chef Gary's bar person. Bad Birdie was there, and he was like, I follow you.
Yeah.
And then she's making us a drink, and that was producer Tina in the background. Sorry, guys. But it was absolutely incredible to be able to kind of just be there. And we've been putting out posts all week, and you can check that out on the Tucson Tasty Show on Facebook, Instagram. You can actually see some of the live video with Strawberry Gary is what we're calling
Strawberry
him.
Strawberry Shortcake Gary.
Yep. And
he had this full strawberry outfit. It was like a matching shorts and shirt that was covered in strawberries.
Yep.
Like big ones.
Do you have pictures for his website?
Oh, he's got them.
Oh, yeah.
He's got them on there.
They're all over the Facebook.
What's the name of your website again?
It's Facebook and Instagram, and it's the Tucson Tasty Show.
There we go.
And you can go on YouTube and see some of the antics at the Tasty Show 520. And it was a blast. And I was honored to be able to, you know, hang out with you guys and kind of see how you operate. And I think it's changed the way that we look at things for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun expo. We go there to have fun, but also, you know, we're there to learn and scout new products, right?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so we go, you know, with a attention to detail for the different things, for the things that people don't normally look at. But you appreciate them, but when you don't have them, you're like, there's something missing. So, mm-hmm. you know, so when we're walking through those expos, there's and I've been doing it for a long time. I've been going to this thing for like 9 years. So I've learned there's a lot of kind of things I can stay away from and kind of really, so that way if I do find something I like, I can spend more time at it instead mm-hmm. of trying to have to see everything and talk to everyone. Whereas like the media, you're there covering the whole thing. You're trying to see all of it, where I'm like kind of walking through and I'm like, okay, don't need that. Don't need that. Don't need that. Okay. That looks interesting. What's that? And so, you know, then, you know, you get to be in your element. And so like, you know, he came by, I was in, they had this one area there. They had this, like Japanese seafood mm-hmm, area mm-hmm. in the bar expo, bar and restaurant expo. And then they had this Italian area, and it was all of these like Italian amaros yes. and aperitifs and all this that, you know, are traditional to like, you know, Campari or Aperol and things like that. But they're the traditional brands that are in Italy that are trying to bring over now that, so you find the more artistic stuff of that there. And so then you're like, okay, I want that one. That's way better than Aperol. Mm-hmm. And so we're tasting all of these things, and everybody comes by and we're passing it. We're like, all right, you know, because they pour you real drinks of it, you know.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, oh, just get a little sample. It's no, they're giving you a full cocktail. And so there's 14 different booths selling different amaros and different, you know, limoncellos and
yeah.
Aperol. So you're drinking them all. And so you're like, that's really good. And then someone, you're like, eh, that's not so much my thing. But, you know, it's.
And then the lemons.
Yeah.
But we won't talk about the lemons.
Yeah. There, you know, there was just.
Did they have tequila near
the. Oh, there was lots of tequila.
Oh, there's tequila. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, and all the big name brands are there too. So it's, you know, you go through and you're like, oh, Crown Royal. And they have all, you know, different kinds of Crown Royal.
The kind
like,
we can't afford.
Yeah. You're like, oh, Crown Royal Peach. I've never had that before.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ciroc.
They did have the Don Julio 1942, but a new one of it.
Wait a minute. He's reaching. Did you bring a sample?
No, I have a little tiny bottle.
Okay.
No, I can't read that. Anyways.
Yeah, and you know, like, so then there was like a booth, you know, that was rums of Puerto Rico, and they had these beautiful rums there, and they even had like 10 and 20 year rums that, you know, you never would normally get to taste, and they're pouring you a little bit of it, and you get to have a, you know, a nice little sip of it. And, you know, then they give you the POS, you know, which is point of sale information on it and little flyer. So then you put it in your bag and, you know, you keep going.
I think people, you know, there's a magic to have a famous restaurant. And it certainly goes, it starts with the chef, and it starts with the menu, and it starts with
the
delivery and the story. Okay, thank you. Guy runs a tasty show. I'll let you correct me. That's okay.
Thank you.
But it's the experience.
Yeah, 100%.
And you learn the business side, okay, but because you want to make sure that you can do the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we should a little bit of the experience of going to your restaurant.
Yeah.
How would you talk about that?
So Mama Luisa's has been around since 56, and it's really a love of being in the industry. So it started in 56. My family bought it in 1973. And so I was basically raised in the thing. And so what we're known for is our homemade pasta. Mm-hmm. You know, we make probably 90% of our menu from scratch. And that's how it should be. You know, my dad always told me, I didn't get into this industry to take things out of a box and put them on a plate. You know, that's not where you get into the restaurant industry. you know, you go to a picnic or a potluck and you make something and people go, man, that's so good. You should open a restaurant off of that. You know, that's what it is. It's not like, oh, man.
Or a food truck.
Yeah. You took that, you know, those baked beans out of the can and those are so good, you should open a restaurant. You know, it's not, that's right. not what it's from, right? It's you make something and people are like, God, I just need more of that. And so it's, you know, that's where it is you've got to have something that you make and you put your heart into, and that's where that sets you apart from a lot of places. And so making that pasta, making, you know, the tomato sauce, making all of those things is really our story of what we do. I mean, we make about 120 pounds of pasta a day. Every other day we're making 45 gallons of red sauce, you know, mm-hmm. so it's got to age, you know, you can't just serve it straight out of that, or otherwise you're doing like a Pomodoro sauce. Right. I like a hearty, deep, rich tomato sauce that you don't have to put sugar in. You don't have to do all of that stuff. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's a love affair. And I think you have to have that love in there to be successful. Cause I think if you don't, people know, and they can point out the fake. And so,
well, we're going to be back in just a few moments. We have two really special guests here and we're talking about the culinary scene in Tucson. And I, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, it's not necessarily a competitive thing in the sense, but it's a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the passion is shows in every single bite.
Yeah. 100%.
So we'll be back in, this is Tucson, and we're jumping in today with two wonderful folks. We'll be back in just a few moments. Well, welcome back to Tucson. We're jumping in with really two special guests here. Wesley Source is from the Tucson's Tasty Show, I should say, and it has a show every Saturday at 3 o'clock?
Between 3 and 4. It is live, so you please call into the show. It's a blast, and you can ask the chefs questions.
And he is also chairs the show as a blog, and that blog is on just about wherever you could find a blog, but
yes.
Facebook Live, YouTube Live. So when you're on the show, you are not only broadcasting live on KVY 10:30 a.m. The Voice,
correct,
but you're also broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube.
I am.
And then you preserve it for because once on the web, it's always on the web.
Right.
And you've been doing this for how long?
Just about a year.
Okay, so
we started developing the show actually March of last year. So there it is.
Well, you got me beat because I started in January, and I was on the other side like you are now. You know, so we have really two hosts of radio shows here, and not that we're competing because no. Yeah, we are conversationalists.
It's a community.
Yes.
Absolutely. One of the things we wanted to touch on, Michael, it was how important it is that the chefs know each other. Now, the Tucson City of Gastronomy, a nonprofit group, brings you guys together for events, and so does a lot of the nonprofits like Reed Park Zoo and Saka is a good example. So you can kind of see how important the culinary scene is. But behind the scenes, you guys, the chefs, who many of them are owners, are also friends.
Yeah, 100%. So this group really started of these chefs being close together on a Tucson Chefs page. It was originally just probably like 20 or 30 of us. And then so we would all kind of spitball ideas or talk about, like, you know, we had a local butcher and if he had like a deer or a cow or something that he was going to break down, he would invite us to go and do a butchery class. And so we all started showing up to these things, and that's kind of how the group started. And then we kind of threw ideas around and we, you know, we really started to take off. And then, you know, the Tucson Chefs page grew into this massive, I don't know how many, there's people that are all over the place, all over the world that are in that now. But it's just a really tight, you know, tight group of chefs. There's probably about 30 of us in it, you know, at the core of it. And, you know, we all get together and we have a good time. And it's meant to help. It, you know, there's competitiveness. You know, we all kind of like talk, oh, man, I was this busy. You know, we had an hour wait, you know. But it's also when you have ideas, we share them and we ask. And everybody pushes everybody to be better. And it's not like there's no animosity. It's just a really core, you know, really rad group of people that, you know, we want to see each other succeed. And we push each other to be better. And so you don't have that, it's competitive, but you don't have that malicious intent of like, I'm going to put you out of business. Like, there's none of that. There's no room for that in our group. It's just, let's be better. Let's all be better, and let's make it better for everyone that's around as well.
So when a tourist comes into town, they're not looking for chains.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for unique, one-of-a-kind culinary experiences. And it started with, in one sense, from a tourism standpoint, certainly our DMO Visit Tucson was very, very important to have your restaurant on their website.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Tucson Originals came about. Okay, and they developed some wonderful marketing material that really highlighted the Tucson Originals.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was followed, I think, by just like you had mentioned, some of the kind of underground but then became popular scenes where the food editorial staff picked up, and they were already going around and, doing their things. And then in 2015, we talked about how Tucson became the city of gastronomy. And obviously, I think every single article about Tucson was about the culinary scene.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be New Orleans or maybe San Antonio and Vegas, of course, the home of all the celebrity chefs. But all of a sudden, we became, internationally known with many other city of gastronomies throughout the world. Now, my favorite was Parma. Italy,
yes.
It's
got my roots in it.
Absolutely.
The homeland.
And we know Italy's not the home of pizza, but on the other hand, we know freshly made pasta.
Yeah.
You can tell it's freshly made, can't you?
Oh, 100%. It's, that's my big thing. It's like you see a lot of, and I don't like to take shots, and I'm not going to name anything by name, but you see a lot of these restaurants in town that it's like, oh, scratch made, all of this stuff, and then you look at the plate and you're like, that's box pasta. It
Absolutely.
Has a clear difference in the look.
Yep.
And so
right.
you're like, it's like,
I've actually called out a couple of chefs on that, and embarrassingly, because I was like, is that Barilla? And they're like, nah, I hate you.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like a Mexican restaurant. If you're not making your salsa, if you're not, making certain things that are at the heart of it,
right.
like,
you are a certified Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And making things from scratch or using local heritage foods is very important as part of that certification. It's not the only two reasons, but they're probably more important to taste.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we have it for we're certified for our sustainability practices.
Yes.
For an Italian restaurant to be in the Southwest in Sonora, it's a little tough for us to use a lot of those heritage ingredients. We use them in like my third gen menu where we kind of get to play with stuff, but the heart of the menu, I can't really change that. So we use some more of that like heritage grains and
right.
the spices and all that stuff in that third gen menu. But mainly what our thing is, we're no styrofoam, biodegradable stuff, there's none of that,
And scratch, food from scratch,
cooking in
natural
and,
ingredients.
And, we use a lot of local vendors for a lot of our stuff. And so, that's like the big part of it.
Well, we're just about wrapping up this hour-long show that went really fast, didn't producer Tina? I mean, absolutely. We could talk about food
all
for
day,
hours and hours, and I think we need to have you back along with some of the other.
Be a pleasure.
Brian would be a great dual chef, not a point counterpoint, but really get more engaged in this. How the chefs here are friends. And they really learn from each other. And you just came back from a show where you're learning from other chefs. So there's a couple of really cool food festivals coming up. One is probably fits along the City of Gastronomy. And I don't know if you're part of this festival here, but for me that doesn't know a lot of Spanish, it's a corn festival to me. But how do you say this now?
You're
Pueblos de Miami.
So Gut will be doing a thing at that, and we'll be part of that.
And that's coming up on April 11th through the 14th. So it's everything corn. I mean, everything. Corn was an important product here, grown here 5,000 years ago.
Yep.
And you really want to go to this. And most of the events are free.
Yes.
And then while it's not probably fits the Tucson City of Gastronomy is the fair, the Pima County Fair, coming up on the 18th through the 28th.
Turkey legs.
And that's turkey legs.
Piggly Wigglies.
buddy. Fried Snicker bars, everything fried.
Yeah, absolutely.
Funnel cakes. I'll tell you late off the the funnel cake story, but it's wonderful. Well, thank you again for both of you for being here. Make sure Saturday at 3 o'clock you're joining in the Tucson Tasty Show.
Absolutely.
And thank you and welcome to Tucson Jump In and being part of the Jump In family. And I'll be back next Thursday. Ed Ackerley will be here tomorrow, Friday at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss Dr. Ackerley because he really brings in community leaders and with very interesting stories.
And watch out for Tom on the Tucson Tasty Show because he's coming in as a guest co-host.
All right. Fantastic. I really appreciate your time. And go out and eat local.
Yeah, 100%.
See you guys later.